wisdom or luck. Once Wisdom and Luck got into a terrible fight about which one of them was the stronger. Wisdom preened himself, pulled his long beard, and said, Master Luck, it is quite clear that I am the stronger. Why, with wisdom, all things can be accomplished. But impish little Luck said, No. It is quite clear, Master Luck, that I am the stronger. I am much stronger, and I shall tell you why. Because in 5 minutes' time, I can undo what it took you 20 years to accomplish. In 5 minutes' time, I can accomplish what you could not accomplish in 20 years.
Is that so?
We shall have a contest, then,
you and I.
Yes, indeed, said Luck. Down there, on that insignificant little speck of dust called the Earth, a baby boy is being born, it would seem. Go ahead, Master Wisdom. Enter into his life. Fill it with your essence. And when you are and can do no more, call for me. And Luck tried his best to look modest for an instant. So Wisdom entered into the life of a newborn lad. Why, once upon a time there was a lad who was very, very wise, but he had no luck. One day he said to his father, I am going to the big city to try my luck.
Bad idea, said the father, but go with my blessing, my son.
And so off to the big city he went. He got himself a job with the tailor who was the master tailor to the king himself, and he invented several new patterns, patterns that contained commentaries on Torah and Talmud, wisdom of the sages woven into the patterns. The king liked them very much and said,
I say, Master Tailor, did you make these yourself?
And the tailor looked left and right and said,
Why, yes, Your Excellency. I've stayed up late at night working my fingers to the bone to sew these.
And so, with the boy's bad luck, the tailor took all the credit and all the money, and our lad lived in a hovel behind the tailor's house. Now the king had a beautiful daughter, and one day the princess announced, From this day forth, I shall not speak until some man is clever enough to make me speak.
Oh, you'll never stick to that, said the king.
The princess said not another word. Well, the king let it be known far and wide that whoever could make the princess speak would win his kingdom. But, of course, if they could not make the princess speak, it was their head cut off. Lads came from all over, princes, kings. They all tried various means to make the princess speak. Some tried flattery. Some tried cajolery. Some tried trickery.
If you say nothing, I shall assume you mean yes. The king is a fool. What? You agree? You say he is a fool? You say it? You say it? Do you say it?
But the princess rolled her eyes at all of them and stayed silent, and one by one their heads were cut off, until nobody would try any more. And at last our lad decided that he would try his luck. So up to the castle gate he marched. 2 large, burly guards were lounging against the castle gate. The lad walked up and said, I have come to try to win the hand of the princess.
The bigger guard nudged the smaller guard. Dmitri, look here. Look who's come to win the hand of the princess. Go away, boy. We don't have time for ragamuffins like you.
The boy said, I beg your pardon. I may be dressed in rags, but I am more intelligent than either of you, and I have come to win the hand of the princess.
Said the big guard. A smart boy, All right, smart boy.
And he walked up and poked a finger against the lad's chest.
This is what we do for you. We'll take you to princess. Right, Dmitri?
Right, Igor.
Then, when you don't make Princess speak, we take you direct to Executioner. Right, Dmitri?
Right, Igor.
And so they went. They took him into the Princess.
Here's another one, Princess.
The Princess looked at the lad and rolled her eyes before he even spoke. But he astonished her by addressing himself not to her, but to the candelabrum in the corner. "Good Master Candelabrum, I have a tale to tell you," he said. "Once upon a time, there were three men, a tailor, a woodcarver, and a teacher. They went out into the forest late at night together, and they camped in the middle of the forest. Now in the wee hours," the lad went on, pacing back and forth before the candelabrum, but casting an occasional glance behind him at the Princess, "the woodcarver drew the lot for the first watch, and in the middle of the night he was bored, so he found a beautiful silver birch log, and he carved it in the shape of a woman. Now, the tailor's turn to watch came, and he saw the beautiful woman and thought it a shame that she should be naked, and so he made her a dress. At last it was the teacher's turn to watch, and he saw the beautiful silver woman in the red dress and thought it a shame that she should be mute, and so he set out to teach her to speak, and so great was his skill, Master Candelabrum, that he succeeded. But in the morning, the three of them got into an argument about to which one of them the statue belonged.
"She belongs to me," said the woodcarver, "for I carved her from a piece of wood."
"She belongs to me," said the tailor, "for I gave her the gift of dress, and therefore the gift of civilization."
"She belongs to me," said the teacher, "for I taught her to speak, and gave her thus the gift of thought and life."
"And so I ask of you, Master Candelabrum," said the lad, with just one quick glance behind him at the Princess, who was sitting on the edge of her throne with her hands on her knees. The lad said, "Master Candelabrum, to which one of them does the statue belong?"
And the Princess said,
"Why, quite naturally, she belongs to the man who made her speak."
Well, the Princess smiled on the lad, and he smiled at her, and they kissed long and passionately, and a happy interval passed before she sent him back out into the hall, saying, "Tell the guards to take you to my father and tell him that you are the man I will marry." Well, the lad reeled back out into the hall,
and burly hands grabbed him. "So, you did not make the Princess speak."
But she did speak. You heard her yourselves."
The big burly guard put a hand to his ear and said,
"What? I hear nothing. Dmitri, did you hear anything that sounded like a princess speaking?"
Dmitri took a look of utter innocence and said,
"I hear nothing."
And so they took him, struggling and protesting, to the executioner. The old executioner said, "Such a shame, another one, and so young at that," bent him over the chopping block, still protesting, raised his axe, and brought it down in a wicked, vicious, gleaming arc. "And Luck, I think you'd better take over," said Wisdom. "I'm stuck." And so Luck rubbed his hands gleefully together and jumped into the life of this boy.
But the head of the axe flew off and whanged against the opposite wall with a shower of sparks.
"Good heavens," said the executioner, "nothing like that's ever happened. But fortunately I have another axe."
And he went and got the spare axe and raised it up and brought it down in a wicked, vicious, gleaming arc. And the head of that axe flew off, as Luck would have it, and whanged against the opposite wall.
The king came down and said, "What is all this noise?"
"Oh, just another execution, your highness.
Now, the lad who couldn't win the hand of the princess.
Oh, I see. Well, carry on, carry on.
And so the executioner got his third and last axe and raised it up and was just about to bring it down in a vicious, wicked, gleaming arc when the princess walked in and said, "Stop! What are you doing to my intended husband?" The king said, "My dear, you spoke. Oh, how happy I am. You can marry this lad." And so the princess and the lad got married, and as they were at the wedding ceremony, the lad started to comment on the commentaries on the Torah and Talmud that were sewn into the king's clothes. And the king said, "Why, you're the one who made my clothes, and you shall be master tailor." And so the boy became master tailor, married the princess, and lived rich and happily ever after. And Luck said to Wisdom, "Well?" And Wisdom shuffled his feet and said, "All right, Master Luck, I admit, you are the stronger." But a gleam came into his eye as he looked up. "Tell me, though, did you not enjoy the tale that the lad told to win his lady love?" Luck looked suspicious, but said, "Yes, it was very good."
"Well then," said Wisdom, "could a lucky fool have told such a tale? Hmm?" And he raised his bristling white eyebrows.
And Luck started to speak several times, shuffled back and forth, looked up, looked down, looked embarrassed, looked left, looked right, and then put his arm around Wisdom and said, "All right, it's you and me, right? You and me." And that is the story of Wisdom and Luck.